You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works Volume 100, which consists of two cycles. The title of the book itself is True Knowledge of the Christ. The first cycle is called Theosophy and Rosicrucianism. I'm on Lecture 8 of that cycle of 14 lectures. Translated by Anna Moyes. Given in Kassel on the 23rd of June, 1907. Today I want to add a few things concerning reincarnation and karma. I would then move on to discuss the evolution of our planet Earth, for this alone will give us accurate understanding of the true nature of man as it presents itself in relation to the cosmos. I then want to end this course of lectures by considering, together with you, how human beings develop when their endeavors are directed toward gaining a view of the higher worlds. If we are to enter into those worlds, we will need to consider, number one, pre-Christian inner development, number two, Christian inner development, and number three, Rosicrucian inner development. What remains to be said about reincarnation should be reserved for a separate chapter, for it is the most difficult for beginners to understand. We will have to consider things that initially relate to the time between two incarnations, and that in itself is an issue which comes as a shock to the materialistic mind of our time. The one source of knowledge available to the spiritual investigator cannot be checked by people who do not yet have spiritual vision. It is living experience. However, anyone who goes through the inner training, which we still need to discuss, will be well able to establish when the majority of people living in the present time were last incarnated here on earth. I will also have to speak of the means used in Chaldean, Pythagorean, and all other mystery centers of pre-Christian times to make it possible for people to enter into the spiritual world. All those able to look into conditions in the spiritual worlds, and therefore to trace the previous incarnations of human beings, will discover the majority of people now living to have been incarnated in the early time after the birth of the Christ and until the 8th and 9th centuries. These are averages. The time between two incarnations may also be shorter or longer. There is something else connected with the fact I have just been mentioning, something which has become particularly evident in our time. It is the fact that right now, in our time, unusually radical thinkers are demanding equality. This is nothing but the demand for equality that existed in early Christian centuries, applied to the material world. The early Christian tenet was equality before God and equality before the worldly authorities. Many of the people who thus claimed equality in the early Christian centuries went through the gate of death with their demand not met. They took their longing for equality before God and the worldly authorities with them in their souls into the spiritual world. They have reincarnated exactly at the present time, and as a matter of course have brought their attitude to these demands with them, though not in a metamorphosed form that would be in accord with today's materialistic view of the world. Having now incarnated, they fail to see the holy materialistic quality given to this demand in our time. It is incorrect to think, or indeed maintain, that today's sense of freedom comes from Christianity. Metamorphosed into today's demand for equality in all earthly situations, this demand for equality before God and the worldly authorities can only be given the right direction if we understand the true situation, something which the theosophical view of the world makes possible. However, if you know the true situation and at the same time look at the materialistic view that governs people today, you will immediately realize that in the form in which it is presented by today's radical thinkers, this demand is something which had to come in the natural course of events. It is equally true, however, that from now on people have to rise above materialism and come to spirituality. This is the only way in which social conditions can be given a sound basis again. There is no other remedy but the science of the spirit itself. The subject is discussed in more detail in an issue of the journal titled Lucifer Gnosis. There it is shown how all other means put forward for solving the social problem, however elevated their source, suffer from dilettantism. For people today simply do not know anything about the higher worlds. If the social thinkers of today were to let themselves be inspired just a little by theosophy, they would find the truly effective means for tackling this issue. It is true that humanity had to descend from a spiritual past into materialism. It is equally true that they must rise again to the spiritual. It needs this spiritual view of the world to come to the principle that gives harmony, peace, and love. Here, too, theosophy will therefore be practical in the most eminent sense. I will now have to show how the view of human evolution, gained with the help of clairvoyant observation, takes us back to the events that occur between death and rebirth. I said that it is not for nothing that human beings appear on this physical earth again and again. We found that the reason for this is that they meet completely new circumstances on earth every time they incarnate, and that every new physical life yields new fruit for the future. For the earth will have changed every time, where both civilization and the purely external natural world are concerned. The face of the earth will be completely different every time the individual comes to it in a new incarnation. The Chaldeans considered the change in the earth to be due to the relationship which the sun had to the other heavenly bodies. You will find details of this in various lectures. I can only refer to it briefly here. If you were to pay attention to the heavens when the sun rises at the beginning of spring, if you were to observe the place where it rises, and what the world of the stars look like at that time, you would see that the relationship of the sun to the other heavenly bodies is a different one every spring. The spring equinox moves on year by year, and it will be about 25,920 years before it will reach the place again where it was 26,000 years earlier, a cycle. But the sun is only seemingly moving in a circle. It is, in fact, a spiral. The spring equinox was determined according to the constellation it was in. The sun thus moves in a circle through the heavens, a circle of the 12 constellations. It moves a little bit further year by year, passing through all 12 constellations in 26,000 years. About 800 years before Christ, the sun first rose in the ram. Since it needs 26,000 years to pass through all 12 constellations, it needs the 12th part of that time, 2200 years, to pass through one constellation. The changes in the face of our Earth are truly connected with the progression of the spring equinox. After about 2200 years, the face of the Earth has changed so much that conditions are completely different. This is therefore the time when human beings are, on average, reincarnating again. Observations made in spiritual science confirm this. The ancients always had a definite feeling when the sun rose in the ram at the spring equinox, which may be described as follows. The sun is, for the first time, again, sending the rays that magic the plants from the soil from the ram. It felt to them as if the ram brought the rays, and they venerated this constellation. Sacred feelings are connected with the names given to these constellations. The ram sends the powers of the spring sun. The peoples of those times, therefore, saw the lamb as a symbol for the powers that revived nature and the human soul. Many legends are connected with this. For instance, that of Jason, who brought back the golden fleece, and this was something that was most precious to human beings. The veneration of the ram, or the lamb, prevailed through many centuries and was adopted in Christianity. Originally, a lamb would therefore appear on the cross instead of the Christ. And this is why the Christ was called the, quote, Lamb of God, close quote. Thus we see how the ancients connected important images and ideas with the passage of the sun through the individual constellations. This is also connected with the reincarnation of human beings after a particular period of time, when about 2200 years had passed. It makes a big difference, however, if an individual incarnates as a man or a woman at a particular period. And this makes it a bit more complicated to calculate individual incarnations. The experiences which human beings have as man or woman are so different that they must incarnate twice within that length of time, once as a man and once as a woman. There are therefore two incarnations within approximately 2,000 years, and in reality therefore only 1,100 or 1,200 years between individual incarnations. And on average, it is correct to say that a male and a female incarnation alternate. In exceptional cases, several incarnations may be in the same gender, the greatest number observed being 7. After that, however, the gender changed. These are exceptions. As a rule, genders change from one incarnation to the next. This is what may be said about the time between two incarnations. It does, however, also depend on other things, and not on the human being only. It may be the case, for example, that a particular individual is exactly right for conditions on earth at a particular time, when a particular thing needs to be done. In that case, the individual may well be drawn to incarnation by the higher powers before the whole period of time has passed. The individual is brought down because he or she has the exact disposition needed to achieve a particular mission. This applies above all to the great leaders of humanity. It will be balanced out in the whole sequence of lives, and the individual will later spend a suitably longer period in Devakan. One more thing to be said is that there is a kind of counterpart to the experience of which I said it came immediately after death, when the human being looks back on the past life as if in a great tableau. This counterpart is a kind of preview of the next life on earth. Let us bring to mind again how the review of life arises at the moment of death. As you know, the ether body has two main functions. The first is to stimulate all vital functions in the physical body, that is, to protect the substance of the physical body all the time from decay and regulate its anabolism. Secondly, the ether body is where memory lies. So, when the ether body leaves the physical body at the moment of death, it is relieved of that first main task. And that is also the moment when the second function comes strongly to the fore, remembering everything the human being experienced in the past life. And that is the tableau of life. So at this moment, the human being essentially consists only of ether body, astral body, and capital I. For a new incarnation, the I descends from the spiritual world with all the immortal extracts so far gained of both the etheric and the astral. It initially draws together all astral qualities to be its new astral body, qualities that reflect development up to that point. Only then does it draw together all the etheric qualities. All this happens in the first days after conception, and it is only from the 18th to the 20th day onward that the new ether body is working independently to develop the physical germ of the human being. Before that, the maternal ether body did the things which the ether body would have to do later on. It is only on this 18th or 20th day after conception that the individual who is about to incarnate and who has until then garbed its I in a new astral body and ether body takes possession of the physical body which has so far been developed by the mother. The moment before possession is thus taken, the human being has exactly the same levels of existence as at the moment of death. In the latter case, it had just cast off the physical body. In the former, it has not yet taken up the physical body. You will therefore find it easy to understand that at the moment when human beings enter into a new physical body, something happens which is analogous to the moment when they laid it aside. At this moment, they have a kind of preview of the life to come, just as at the moment of death they had a review of the past life. They will, however, forget this preview, for the constitution of the physical body is not yet such that the preview can be retained as a memory. It is at that moment that human beings are able to see. Such are the conditions in the family, country, place, and destiny situations into which I am being born. And it then happens at times that the individual, having had the preview at this moment, seeing that things will go hard for her or him, gets a shock, takes fright at the life that lies ahead, and that the ether body does then not connect properly with the physical body, does not want to enter into it. The consequences of that fright, of the ether body not being willing, then show themselves in the form of idiocy. The seer can see the ether body project beyond the physical head in such individuals, and with the ether body not integrated, the brain lags behind in its development because the ether body is not working on it the way it should. Many cases of idiocy are due to that cause. It is easy to see why cases of this kind appear so easily in this day and age, if we consider that the majority of people reincarnated today had their last incarnation in the 9th to 11th centuries AD. It is possible to influence the ether body to such effect with a form of physical treatment that it gradually pushes its way into the physical body, and one can improve the situation in this way. This will only be possible, however, for those who are able to see through the whole and know its spiritual background. which would enable them to take the right kind of action. We now know from what has gone before that human beings are made up of the physical body, ether body, the astral body, and the eye. All these are not merely sitting one within the other, but interpenetrate and influence one another. Thus they all act on the physical body, taking part in working on it, so that it can develop in the way it is meant to develop. Unless you have developed your higher organs of perception, you will see only the physical body of someone before you. But this physical body only appears to you the way it does, because ether body, astral body, and I are integrated in it, and because they have, each in their own way, had a part in developing that physical body. The physical organs in this human body have not been developed in a chaotic way by the three higher bodies, however, but we can distinguish very clearly how these three higher bodies are involved in developing the physical body. Let us try and get an idea of this. To begin with, we therefore have something in this physical body which in a certain respect are purely physical organs. These are the ones which are based on purely physical laws: eyes, ears, larynx, and so on. The eye is certainly a live organ that is given its life by the ether body which fills it and feeds it. Yet seen purely in terms of physics, it is a physical apparatus where the same forces apply as in inorganic nature, in a crystal, for instance. We can, therefore, consider the functions of the eye wholly in terms of physics. These sensory apparatuses must first of all work their way out of the physical body. They are the organs which we realize are, in the narrower sense, constructed by physical forces according to physical laws. We then have a second group of organs, those serving nutrition, growth, and reproduction, and these are predominantly glandular. The ether body plays the key role in developing them. Then the nervous system represents a third group, and this is developed essentially by the astral body. In fourth place, we have above all the red blood of higher animals and human beings. The warm red blood is developed by the eye. So, we have number one, the actual physical parts, the sense organs, and later also the purely mineral skeletal system, which the physical body itself develops. Number two, the glandular system, reproductive organs, and so on, developed by the ether body. Number three, the nervous system, developed by the astral body. And number four, the blood system, developed by the eye. We'll understand this much more clearly if we also take a closer look at the evolution of our Earth. We cannot trace the re-embodiments of our Earth forward and back ad infinitum. Even the best of clairvoyants cannot see further than to a particular embodiment, for limits are set also to their powers of insight. Clairvoyants can look back as far as three embodiments of our Earth, and also the next three ahead. Together with the present state of the Earth, they are therefore able to see a total of seven embodiments. Some people hearing this for the first time may feel that it sounds a bit superstitious that the seer puts the Earth exactly in the center of this evolution. One might say that this was rather odd. But one would only say so if taking a superficial look, for it is no more odd than that out in the open I see the same distance in all directions and find myself at the center of the horizon. In the sevenfold order of the human being that has been presented, the eye is also at the center. Physical body, ether body, astral body, I, spirit self, life spirit, spirit human being. This is due to taking the same point of view. People may also be surprised at the things I have to say about the evolution of our planet Earth finding it strange. The Earth has evolved from an earlier planet. The planet from which our Earth has evolved is no longer there in the heavens. But the present moon is still a piece of what did once exist. It is a piece of our Earth's predecessor. So, if you were to mix together our present Earth and the present moon and all the spiritual entities living on them, this would give you an approximate picture of the previous embodiment of the Earth, called, in quotes, moon by occultists. Now, you must remember that a hypothesis of this kind is established merely to make the process more easily understandable for you, but that, like all hypotheses, it is, of course, not entirely correct. If one were to mix the present Earth and the present moon together, the way one mixes two substances in a retort in one's laboratory, let us say, nothing like the moon of that earlier time would result. For you have to consider that from the moment when they separated, Earth and moon developed further, each in its own way. Solid matter, the mineral world, only developed in this planet Earth from the beginning of the present stage of Earth evolution. Mineral, in the present sense, did not exist before our present Earth evolved. We would, therefore, have to remove in our minds everything that has since developed as we stir together Earth and Moon. The old Moon mass had nothing in it as yet by way of mineral matter. It had only reached a fluid, mushy consistency. As I said, such a hypothesis is established to help people who have never heard of the planetary evolution of our Earth and the whole of our cosmos understand it, at least to some extent. It needs infinitely much more to gain deeper insight into this evolution, but we cannot go into this in an introductory course like this. The evolution will be considered again and again as time goes on, looking at it from new points of view to throw more light on it. Before going through that old moon state, the Earth went through one which occultists call sun, in quotes. There, our Earth went through conditions similar to those still existing on the sun today. And if we wanted to make the same assumption, it would get a bit more complicated. For to visualize that condition, you'd have to mix up Earth, moon, and sun to get a single heavenly body. The sun state of old, but with the same proviso as before. The old sun had, in the course of its evolution, separated out all the parts, the powers and substances of today's Earth and today's moon, casting them off, and thus changed from a planet to a fixed star. Our Earth will also be a sun one day, when it will have made all entities on it into light entities. Our Earth was therefore moon in the past, and the moon had previously been sun. We are able to look back on an even earlier stage of evolution, which occultists call Saturn, in quotes. We thus distinguish the following evolutional stages of our Earth: Saturn, Sun, Moon, and Earth, with Jupiter, Venus, and Vulcan to follow. Someone might come and say, quote, "You are telling us that the Earth was once Saturn, but Saturn is up there, in the heavens right now," close quote. But the Saturn which our Earth has once been has nothing to do with the heavenly body called Saturn today. This is not to say that the entities which exist on Earth today have in the past been on Saturn we see in the heavens today. Today's Saturn only has as much to do with that earlier Saturn state as the present moon has with the moon state. Anything we see in the present-day Saturn has itself gone through further evolution after that long-ago time, and old Saturn relates to today's Saturn more or less as a baby does to a very old man. Today's Saturn has at one time been in the same state as old Saturn, just as the old man has once been an infant. It is the same with the sun and the other heavenly bodies. And when the spiritual investigator looks at Jupiter today, he finds there conditions and spirits of the kind which Earth will have once it has itself become Jupiter. This is what the earliest initiates taught, and initiates have dinned this into their pupils through the ages. The parts of our language that can be traced back to earliest times were created by initiates. I cannot go into detail about this in an introductory course, for it would take us well away from our subject. But in the old days, when initiates were still determining language development, language was something quite different. Today, people may well be looking for a name that has not so far been given to something else, but it will not have any kind of deeper meaning. In the past, the giving of names had a deep meaning arising from inner connections. The aim was to set up a kind of memorial for the progress of Earth evolution through all those periods of time and planetary states. A timetable was created, as it were, so that human beings would always remember those stages in time. There is something else we must know if we want to understand this timetable. From what has been said so far, you'll realize that before it was Earth, our Earth went through a Saturn, a Sun, and a Moon existence. But before it became the present Earth, that is, in the transition from Moon existence to today's Earth existence, this Earth was under the powerful influence of another heavenly body, the planet Mars. At the very beginning of our Earth evolution came this most important Mars influence, of tremendous significance for the further evolution of the Earth. By the way, the Earth received iron from Mars on this occasion, something which had not been part of its substance before. In its first stage of evolution, the Earth thus stood under the influence of Mars, and in the second half, which is now, it came under the more powerful influence of Mercury. This is why the term Earth, in quotes, is dropped in occultism, and the Earth's conditions are divided in two, the first half the Mars half, and the second the Mercury half. The system previously presented is therefore differentiated into Saturn state, Sun state, Moon state, Mars-Mercury state, Jupiter state, Venus state, and Vulcan state. This would make the Vulcan state the eighth, and it has the same role in evolution as the octave has in music. The octave is a repetition of the first note, but at a higher level. The Vulcan state is a repetition of the Saturn state, but at a higher level of development. The whole cosmos has evolved from the realm of the spirit, and with the Vulcan stage, everything will have developed in the direction of the spirit again, but at a higher and more rich and varied level. One spirituality has turned into infinitely many spirit human beings. Just as the seed, which the farmer puts in the ground, has by autumn become the ear of corn with many seed grains. Quote, all that must disappear is but a parable, close quote. The early initiates made these seven names part of the great memorial which I mentioned, and which we have in the names given to the 7 days of the week: Saturn Day, Saturday, Samstag, Sun Day, Moon Day, Mars Day, Mardi, Mars, Zyu, Deus, Dienstag, Tuesday, Mercury Day, Mercredi, Mercury, Vodan, Wednesday, Jupiter Day, Giovedi, Donar, Donnerstag, Thursday, Venus Day, Vendredi, Venus, Freya, Freitag, Friday. The names of the weekdays truly are a monument for the seven stages of Earth evolution. something which seems to be every day, thus points to profound spiritual realities. Now, you have to consider that the whole of human evolution is most closely connected with this planetary evolution. The whole of human evolution can indeed only be understood against the background of these planetary stages of Earth evolution, for during each of these stages, the basis was created for one of the bodies that make up the human being. The potential for the physical body was created in Saturn time, that for the ether body in Sun time, the astral body in the Moon stage, and the capital I only became part of essential human nature in Earth time. This is why the physical body is, so far, the most perfectly developed principle, whereas the ether body is only in the third stage of its evolution, the potential for it having been established on the old sun. The astral body is in its second stage, potentially established on old moon, and the eye is the infant among human levels of existence, being only in the early stages of its evolution, in the present earth state. We get a direct pointer toward what has just been said if we consider the evolution of the four bodies, or levels of existence, for the human being. In the early years of the Theosophical Society, people would widely use the terms higher, in quotes, and lower, in quotes, levels, with the physical body considered the lowest of the four. And values would often attach to those terms, with people only too often tending to consider the physical body as less valuable and even despising it. But that is entirely wrong. Take a careful look at this marvelous structure, which is the physical body. You will immediately see that it has reached a tremendously high level of perfection, something which is definitely not the case with the ether body, for instance. If you look at the physical body with eyes of wisdom, you will see that every organ is something to marvel at, the heart, the bones, and so on. Just consider the structure of the heart, full of wisdom, and think of the work which this relatively small organ does day by day and hour by hour. Compare this with the development of the astral body, still relatively inadequate today. How passions stir in it every day that have not yet been refined. How people, among other things, still long to enjoy things every day that seriously maltreat the heart, which is such a marvelous structure. And yet the heart is able to set all this astral damage at naught, and does not break down, indeed not even getting damaged in many cases. The astral body thus is not as far developed today as is the physical body, which has reached the greatest perfection. In the future, the astral body will have developed so far that it outstrips the physical body. The ether body is less far developed than the physical body today, and the astral body comes only in third place. The youngest of the bodies that make up the essential human being is the eye. It will therefore be the last to achieve perfection. Everything you have as part of your physical body, the actual physical principle, is the oldest part of you. Our physical body has gone through development before an ether body was integrated into it. And this development, which the physical body went through purely as physical body, was the Saturn stage. There, this first beginning of the physical body was nothing but physical apparatus. It continued to develop, and it was only on the sun that the ether body integrated itself into this physical body. This ether body filled the whole of that physical body, as it were, transforming it in some respect. During the moon stage, the astral body came in, and the eye only came in at the beginning of our present earth state. Today, human beings are made up of four principles. On the old moon, they were made up of physical, ether, and astral body. On old sun, of physical and ether body, and on old Saturn of physical body only. The physical body has therefore four stages of development, the ether body 3, the astral body 2, and the eye only its first stage. Because of this, the physical body is the most perfect, having had most work done on it. You see, therefore, how the individual levels of human existence are connected with the evolution of the whole planetary system. In old occult books, you will therefore also find the following terms: for the physical body, Saturn body; for the ether body, sun body; for the astral body, moon body; for the eye, earthly body, the actual earth part of human beings. Tomorrow we'll study the configuration and the whole life of Saturn, then go on to sun and moon. We shall see how human beings came to be more and more perfect, up to their present condition. The end of Lecture 8.